Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a strange juxtaposition, liturgically. Yesterday we celebrate the triumph of the Lord's cross. We ponder what the world doesn't grasp, that Jesus won the greatest victory of all time on Calvary. We celebrated his triumph, that on Golgotha, elevated by the Father, we witness the happiest person who has ever lived at the supreme moment of his triumph, that he willingly emptied himself and took on everything to die on the cross so that we might experience life to the full. We celebrated the triumph of the cross. Today, shouldn't we be pondering Mary's Magnificat? Shouldn't we be pondering Mary under the image of somebody rejoicing? Instead, we celebrate Our Lady of Sorrows, which is probably even more jarring at first than celebrating St. Stephen's martyrdom the day after we rejoice at Jesus' birth. What's happening liturgically? Why do we enter into Mary's tears today? It's not because she looks at what happened to Jesus on Calvary as the laws. She was standing there, strengthened by the Lord, because she knew what was occurring, as painful as the process was. No, instead, we celebrate Our Lady of Sorrows, because even though she, more than anyone, rejoices in the victory of her Son, she still weeps that what her son gained on Calvary so often goes in vain, that the extraordinary fruits of his triumph are wasted by people who don't model their lives in the mystery of the Lord's cross, those who don't receive the mercy won for us, those who don't deny themselves, pick up their cross each day, and follow the Lord to that place of the skull, and embraced by him all the way to the Father's eternal right side. That's why we enter into Mary's tears. Church has long pondered Mary's sorrows. Sorrow in the presentation, when Simeon had announced that her heart would be pierced. The sorrow of the Holy Innocents, the sorrow of the 3 days having lost Jesus in the temple, the sorrow of meeting her son on the way to the cross, the sorrow of seeing him die, the sorrow of receiving his corpse in her arms, the sorrow of placing him in the tomb. We've pondered that for centuries to help us enter into Mary's humanity. And it's important for us to do it, because Mary shows us how to be a disciple. And again, the sorrow isn't merely human compassion. Sorrow is meant to be a grief divine, as we just sang in the sequence. But how does it become that grief divine? It's by our entering into Mary's own heart. Such extraordinary poetry here. particularly in the Latin. But there's a request as we do this sequence, which is what this feast is all about. We say, O sweet mother, fons amoris, fount of love, touch my spirit from above, make my heart with thine accord. We're asking our heart to align itself to Mary's, that great source of love. Make me feel as you have felt. Make my soul glow and melt, glow with God's glory, melt with pain. Make my, with the love of Christ my Lord. Holy Mother, pierce me through, in my heart each wound renew of my Savior crucified, those wounds given out of love for us. Let me share with you his pain, for all our sins were slain, for me in torments died, so that nothing be wasted. Let me mingle tears with you, mourning him who mourned for me all the days that I might live. Tears that are going to be one day wiped away, but in order to appreciate what Jesus himself has triumphed, we first need to recognize the cost and why it occurred. Because we don't recognize we're sinners and others are sinners, we don't need a Savior. By the cross with you, to stay there with you, to weep and pray is all I ask of you, to give, to help us to be able to stay at the cross, not statically but dynamically, because Jesus carries his cross. He wants us to be yoked to him on that journey. We ask Mary to listen to our fond request to share her grief divine, be near to us, to be our defense on the day of judgment. And Mary happily responds. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated the Feast of Saint Monica, which is one of the most hope-filled feasts in the entire liturgical calendar of the Church. She wept for 3 decades. First for the conversion of her husband Patricius, then for her wayward son Augustine. As a bishop told her once, seeing her weep in a church, the object of so many tears will surely never perish. If we could say that about Saint Monica, how much more will God the Father say it to the Blessed Mother, who loves us way more purely than even Saint Monica sanctified her husband and prayed for the conversion of her son. Mary weeps, and her tears will not be in vain. And we ask to unite, to mingle our tears with hers, so that we might learn a type of divine mourning, so that we might experience a divine consolation. On Tuesday, the Church will mark the Feast of Our Lady of La Salette. For me, that's always been an extraordinarily moving image of Our Lady. That when Maximin Giraud and Melanie of Calvin approached, as they were shepherding their sheep at the top of a mountain range close to Grenoble, they saw Mary bawling her eyes out. And the image struck them. We're always moved when we see somebody cry. We want to go and console. And when they saw a woman with a glowing cross crying, it didn't take long for them to know who it was. They asked her why she was crying. She specified 4 sources of her grief then. One, that the people weren't praying. 2, that they weren't coming to Mass. 3, that they were blaspheming. And 4, that they weren't converting even Lent. This was filling her with sorrow. because as a mother, she wants, rather than for us not to be praying, she wants us to take advantage of the extraordinary gift that her son gives us, being ready to receive us at all times, wanting to respond to us with generosity fitting of him, wants us to center our whole life on him in the great gift of the Holy Eucharist, which is the perpetuation of Calvary, where he gave his body and blood for our salvation. Wants us not only not to blaspheme, but to use our capacity to think and to speak in order to praise God and help others praise him. It really wants us to repent and believe in the gospel, to live a truly converted life. Mary weeps whenever we haven't responded to the graces won for us in Christ's triumph on the cross, to live in this way. The sorrows of Our Lady, as we see in La Salette, didn't finish on April 7, 30 AD, or even April 9, 30 AD, when Christ rose from the dead, because her sorrows on Calvary were fundamentally weeping for whatever he won that could be wasted. And her tears matter. And her tears are what give us hope. Because as she tears for our total, as she weeps for our total conversion, we know that her prayer with her ducks will be efficacious. That's what we're able to say with confidence. Christ, when you shall call me hence, be your mother my defense, be your cross my victory. As we come forward to receive at this Mass the body and blood she bequeathed to her son in the incarnation and witnessed, pinned and poured out on Calvary, let us ask her to give us a heart like hers, that our heart might burn as her heart burns, so that we might fully share in the triumph of her Son, so that everyone we meet might come to experience that same victory. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.